to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Introduction to Customizing the WebSphere Commerce Data Service Layer. Today's presenter is John Rawls. John is a staff software engineer on the WebSphere Commerce Level 2 support team. Some of his areas of particular interest include messaging integration, runtime performance, and catalog composition. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the presentation. My name is John, and today we'll be talking a little bit about the data service layer, how it works, and how to get started with your customizations. So let's move on to slide 2, please. On the agenda for today, first we'll go through an overview, talk about what the data service layer is and how it integrates with WebSphere Commerce and its programming model. Next, we'll go into a few approaches for customizing the data service layer, followed by a few concrete example scenarios. Towards the end, we'll have a Q&A session where you can ask any questions you might have. Move to slide 3, please. The concept of the data service layer was introduced in WebSphere Commerce version 6, feature pack 3.0.1, along with the BOD, or Business Object Document framework. Generally speaking, the data service layer provides a layer of abstraction for accessing data independent of the physical schema. This framework is utilized to transform data from the database into a collection of Java objects that can be easily utilized by the business logic. Using these objects, known as service data objects, or SDOs, allows you to perform create, read, update, and delete operations at the logical layer rather than at the physical layer. The XPath notation is used as a query language on this logical schema. The data service layer maps XPath queries to SQL templates, which are used to generate the actual SQL statements to access the database. By doing this, we isolate the SQL queries from the Java code, allowing for easy maintenance, looking things up, and extension. The templates also permit the substitution of business context variables, so depending on the context of the user's current session, different queries can be generated. Move to slide 4, please. So in this diagram, we see that the business logic layer interacts with the persistence layer via two different implementations, EJBs and then the data service layer. So on the left side, we have the traditional approach where name value processing commands, such as controller and task commands, utilize EJBs for persistence. This approach was used by all WebSphere Commerce commands prior to version 6, feature pack 3.0.1. On the right, we have the data service layer, which utilizes OAGES messages called Business Object Documents, or BODs, to provide a means of accessing the database. Overall, the DSL is comprised of three main components: the data service facade, the business object mediation service, and the physical persistence service. So the data service facade provides a single point of entry into the DSL. This provides interfaces for both the physical and logical data. Take, for example, the catalog entry facade client, which accesses the catalog entry facade. The catalog entry facade client class has Java methods to create, get, update, and delete catalog entries. The XPath query containing the applicable cat entry ID or number of catalog entries is provided as a parameter within these methods and is passed along to the business object mediator. We'll look at some examples of this later in the presentation. Typically, the facade will work with the logical data in this capacity, although there are times when the business object mediation service can be bypassed if certain physical objects are not mapped to the physical model. In these cases, the physical data container object can be used to read and write data to the database directly. So the next component is the Business Object Mediation Service. These are classes that allow us to transform data to and from their logical and physical incarnations. Each component has both read and change mediators. And finally, we have the Physical Persistence Service, which contains our SQL query template files, isolated from the business logic above. Slide 5, please. The data service layer facade contains the methods to manipulate the BODs and mediators we use to change and read data. These operations can be initiated at either the JSP or command level. So for change operations, the facade retrieves the OHS noun of the BOD as input along with a process or change verb, and then passes this to the mediator for the appropriate processing and persistence. And for read operations, the facade retrieves the XPath query and access profile from the OHS get verb of the BOD, and then passes this to the mediator. Slide 6, please. So one might ask, what is a noun exactly in this context? Well, in Webs for Commerce, nouns are used to represent the various components implemented in the form of web services. For instance, here we have catalog entry. This noun has BODs for process, change, and get verbs. We can also see here that the XPath notation was used within the nouns to either indicate a number of catalog entries in the case of process or change, or a specific catalog entry in the case of a get operation. All of the nouns and web services utilized within Webs for Commerce, along with examples of their requests and responses, can be found in the Webs for Commerce Information Center documentation. Slide 7, please. So getting back to this diagram, here we'll look at the Business Object Mediation Service. Looking at change operations, once the noun has been passed in, the service instantiates the appropriate mediator, which in turn fetches the physical representations, or SDOs, of the noun. This mediator is returned to the business logic, at which point the appropriate create, read, update, or delete operations can be performed. The mediator then translates those operations to the physical SDOs. For instance, a create request will create the new physical objects and populate them with the values passed in from the noun. Once this is done, the business logic instructs the mediator to save the new SDOs to the database. Slide 8, please. In the case of read operations, the mediation service retrieves the XPath expression and access profile for the request. The mediation service looks up the appropriate queries based on the template files and executes the statements. The results are mapped to physical SDOs and are returned to the mediator. The mediator configuration file is used to determine how the mediator is instantiated with the physical SDOs, meaning which logical types are associated with which physical type. And once this is done, the business logic layer then has elements of the OHS noun available as Java objects. Slide 9, please. So the persistence service aids the mediators in terms of how the Java objects are mapped to the columns in the database schema by using an object relational metadata file. Every component has its own object relational metadata file where all of the fields and logical fields are mapped to the physical fields. And as we mentioned before, the query template files are used by the mediator to map the XPath expressions with the SQL statements. Slide 10, please. Okay. So next we'll examine one approach to a customization where we need to extend the schema with some additional information. In this case, we'll want to tie promotion data with seasons to help us better manage when a promotion is used. do this, we'll first update the schema by adding the new table, in this case, XPX metadata. The entries in the PX promotion table have a one-to-one mapping with the entries in XPX metadata. Note that when using this approach, it is not possible to create one-to-many relationships to a custom table without also customizing the business object mediators. This is because the mediators are not configured by default to process the additional physical objects. There is a document, however, in the Information Center on how to extend the mediators. So once we update the schema, we next configure the object relational metadata file with the property names of the Java objects we want to map to columns within the new table. This file is automatically generated, actually, by the Data Service Layer wizard provided within the WebSphere Commerce Developer Toolkit IDE. Next, we configure the mediator configuration file on our new physical type. Our custom fields will be mapped to the user data section of the OAGIS noun. The user data section is reserved for customizations such as these. And then we'll also update the query templates so that our new table is included within the actual SQL statements. Slide 11, please. So here's an example of our query template file. The file is placed in a directory containing the component name along with the -ext suffix to designate it as an extension. Here we utilize what's called a two-step query, which is an easy way to add additional data to an existing XPath expression by creating a new access profile. A one-step query, you'd basically have an explicit expression that's only used by that one XPath expression. The two-step queries can also be used for pagination if you need to scope your results to a certain size. So the symbol definition section here defines the column symbols that are referenced within the statements. So if the schema ever actually changes, you can adjust the symbol definitions without having to rewrite all the SQL. In this case, we'll want to go ahead and retrieve all the columns from these two tables, so we just use an asterisk. In the association SQL statement block, we define our query. In this case, get extended promotion details by promotion ID, of which to build our new access profile. In the query, we perform a join of the XPX metadata table with the PX promotion data. In the last section, profile, we define our new access profile associated with our new statement, in this case, my company underscore all. We extend the default access profile, IBM admin details, so that we can still use the default queries when we utilize our new access profile. These elements generally comprise the core of the query templates, although additional definitions are available. The complete query template syntax is described within the WebSphere Commerce Information Center. Slide 12, please. In the mediator configuration file, we'll instruct the promotion service module to use our newly defined access profile and physical object type. Note that this file, along with the physical types themselves, are also generated by the Data Service Layer wizard in the WebSphere Commerce Developer Toolkit. Notice how we're not updating the existing read mediators here. This is because we've already defined our new physical type along with the user data mappings for our new fields. However, the change mediators are updated with the new access profile via the update access profile attribute. For differentiation purposes, this is a separate access profile from the one we defined in the previous template file, although the two can in fact be one and the same. Slide 13, please. Okay. So, now we go to our get data configuration file. This file is used when you make use of the WCF getDataJSP tag library. Essentially, it consists of an expression builder element, of which you define your expression builder and associated access profile. Typically, in the out-of-the-box getDataConfig files, you'll also have the XPath expression here. But since we're just extending the existing expression builder for getAllPromotions, here we'll just give it the new access profile with the one we defined in our query template file, in this case, mycompany_all. Slide 14, please. So in the next customization, we'll want to extract some additional data that's already present within the default schema. Many of the tables in Web3 Commerce have customizable fields such as these here, named Field 1, Field 2, Field 3, and Field 4. If we examine the out-of-the-box query template file, we find that all of the columns are already being fetched with the asterisk. But how can we access these fields? Slide 15, please. So if we want to access these additional fields within the DM activity table, for example, which basically contains your marketing activity data, essentially we can bring up our business object mediator configuration file. Looking at this file, we can see that the customizable fields have been placed within the user data section under the logical names of custom field 1, custom field 2, etc. This is very similar to how we defined our own user data elements with our own table extension. Slide 16, please. In this case, all we really need to do is update our logic on the client side to retrieve these fields. When using a JSP, we can retrieve the marketing data using the WCF getData tag library. And here's an example right here of what you would basically have in the JSP. Within our getData tag, we're trying to retrieve the marketing activity by specifying its unique ID explicitly. Once we have the activity data, we can then access the user data field as depicted here in the for each loop. All of these fields and getter methods can be found in the API documentation in the Information Center. Slide 17, please. Alternatively, if we're trying to access the data from within our Java business logic, we can retrieve the fields using the marketing facade client. So here we instantiate the facade client and invoke the getActivity method with the appropriate XPath to get our marketing activity. Once we have the activity data in the form of a list, we can obtain fields like the name of the activity as well as the user data fields. Here we obtain field 1 using the logical field name, custom field 1, of which we found from the business object mediator configuration file. If we wanted to modify any of these fields and persist that data back to the database, we could use the corresponding setter methods from within this facade client. For reference, all of the API documentation for all of the facade clients for the components, such as catalog entry, marketing, promotions, all of those Java docs are also available within the Information Center. Slide 18, please. So to summarize, in this presentation, we looked at the general architecture of the data service layer and its primary components, including the data service facade, business object mediation service, and the physical persistence service. We examine the programming model with respect to the mediator configuration, object relational metadata, and query template files. And we also went through a couple of customization scenarios. I hope this presentation has been helpful in providing an overall look of how to utilize the data service layer in WebSphere Commerce. And this concludes my presentation. At this time, I'll go ahead and transfer control back over to Joseph.
Thank you, John, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have no questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And I see two questions here through the group chat, so I am going to announce the first question here. The first question is, please let us know how update is done in marketing tool of Management Center.
Okay, so I imagine maybe you have, like, you've added a new widget or something like that to the Management Center UI. In this case, what you would do is, going back to the query template files, first you need to create your new access profile to scope in the new database tables. And then within the Business Object Mediator configuration file, you update the access profile for the change mediator. That will allow the logic from within the Management Center UI, the JSPs and such, to be able to see those Java objects so that they can manipulate those using the change mediators.
Thank you, John. And the next question here is, if we have custom tables, why do we still need to generate entity beans if we are using BOD or BOM?
Okay. By entity beans, I think maybe are you referring to just the object types, the SDO object types? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the object types are just used to have the process, change, and get methods for accessing the database, but that code is only needs to be compiled once when you actually generate the SDOs. So versus the EJB approach, where if you wanted to change some kind of SQL, you'd have to recompile your beans over and over again. But yeah, those beans are just used as the object types for the physical representations of the object. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, John. And here is another question coming in through the group chat. Is this upgrade for WCS free of charge, or is there any extra cost for existing WCS customer?
The answer is no. I don't believe there is. It might depend on which edition you have, like Express versus Professional versus Enterprise. But in general, if you have version 7, you will have all this functionality already there because it was introduced in version 6, Feature Pack 3. So as long as you have that level or higher, you'll have it all at no additional cost.
Thank you, John.
We have one question from Hima Lafa. Your line is open.
We have a question here. How to update the marketing tool in case we are creating a widget in the marketing tool as a category recommendation? How are we supposed to update it? We don't find any TPL file for marketing. So
all the query template files should be there. You just look under the WC project XML config, and then go into the com IBM commerce marketing.
Yes. We could find only. We could find only GetTPL for marketing tool. For catalog, we have get and update. But in case of marketing, we have only GetTPL.
Oh, you only have a
marketing.
Okay. Well, you should be able to, write your own update TPL. I don't see any problem with that. You just put it in a separate file and put it in the ext folder and then scope it with your new access profile and then update the change mediators.
So we can write our own TPL, update TPL in the ext, and we can update it through access profile. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly. Yeah, correct.
Okay, but still, while writing TPL file, we are getting errors in giving the parent profile, while extending the parent profile. Since there is no update TPL, we have to specify something in the extended access profile. So in that case, we are getting errors.
Well,
it's not getting updated in the TPL.
You don't necessarily have to extend an existing profile. You can just make a new access profile.
One more question we have. In case if we are using user data, as you said, custom field, we just have to give the X underscore, whichever is given in the client objects, to the in our def file. Is it that, is it only that, or we have to do something else to update this, use the field one of the FADM activity?
You're talking about within the Open Laszlo framework and Management Center?
Yes. I'm talking about Management Center.
Okay, well, that might be specific to the UI, and so I'd have to look at that much more closely to examine what might be missing.
In case we are using custom, field one of any table, like user data, that is the user data, like can you just tell me what all changes we should make?
Right.
So, what are we supposed to update field one?
Right. So, in the first example, I showed the use of the WCF get data tag, and you can use that in JSPs. I think that's used by the Management Center JSPs. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So what you do is when you get that object from there, you have to make sure it's using the same expression builder that you defined in the get data config file. But once you get the object there, then it's just a matter of just referencing the user data section. And that was in my example. Yeah. But I understand that the Open Laszlo stuff can be a bit tricky at sometimes. Exactly like where to put things and how to structure the dev files and stuff. So if you have difficulties with that, you can just open a PMR with us.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Sure.
There are no further questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. A couple of new questions here in the group chat. The first one here is BOD preferred going forward versus EJB? And is the EJB framework going to be deprecated?
Okay. To my knowledge, the EJB framework will not be deprecated, but a lot of the processing within Commerce, like the out-of-the-box default commands, have been moved over to the BOD command processing. So I think that we prefer that just, based on how we're developing things, but I don't think we have any plans to ever deprecate the EJBs just because, so many people are familiar with those and everything. So those will still be used.
Thank you, John. The next question here is, are there any performance concerns with the BOD approach?
Good question. I have actually never really encountered performance issues that I can think of. Yeah, I mean, to me it seems like it performs pretty well. I haven't really come across any issues, but I might be wrong, but not that I know of.
Thanks, John. Next question, what is the advantage of OBD compared to the classical EJB method?
Right, okay. Yeah, so I mentioned some of this stuff back in one of my earlier slides. So basically, with the EJB framework, whenever you want to update your SQL code, you have to go back and recompile all your EJB classes and your ties and stubs and all everything like that, and then to redeploy that code, whereas if you use BOD, if you just need like one extra field or something like that, you can just go into the query template file, which is basically just a plain text flat file, and you have all the queries right there, and you can just edit that and save it and then drop it back in the environment. So basically it's to kind of help with maintenance and kind of auditing purposes. If you're just wondering, which query is being used for which expression, you can just look it up in the query template file. It makes it a little bit easier as opposed to like hunting down your EJBs and stuff like that.
Okay, so we have one last question in the group chat. The question is, do we have a migration path for moving SOI to BOD services?
That's a good question. I don't think we have anything in writing, but yeah, if there's a specific case, you can just shoot me an email. My email address should be on the first slide, or you can open a PMR with us, but I don't think that there is an explicit migration path we have set up for that.
Thank you, John. Another question just came in. The question is, do you have any statistics to specify for BOD performance when compared with EJB or plain JDBC helpers?
Good question. I personally don't have any statistics. I'm not aware of any metrics that were taken on that, but yeah, that's out of my knowledge.
Thank you, John. And we would take one more question here coming into the group chat. The question is, for extending a table and creating a new table, I have come across a statement in the Info Center that the base table to be extended should have a single primary key referencing the extended table. What should we do in case if the base table has a composite primary key combination?
Right. So this is a frequently asked question. By default, the way it's set up is that, you know, it's expected to have a one-to-one mapping between the base table and the foreign table. Right now, the mediators do not support a one-to-many mapping. So if you wanted to do that, you could either bypass the business object mediators completely and just use the physical data container class. And the API for that is in the Information Center. Or you could basically customize or extend the business object mediators to recognize when you're trying to pull in, you know, more than one record for the same, you know, for the same key, and then you could basically use that. It's basically a lot of customization involved with the mediators. You have to extend those classes and override them.
Thank you, John. And since we do not have any other questions at this point in time, we are going to conclude the presentation.